So, at the age of 8, we finally moved out of Hearst Village. And actually, I went to stay with my grandmother and my aunt for a while my mother supposedly got herself together. You know what I'm saying? And within this time, my mother met a man and got pregnant, which ended up being one of the best things to happen to me in a long time, because my mother refrained from using drugs. She went as far as stop smoking cigarettes. And things started to get better for me. I wasn't exposed to no type of, drug mentality. You know what I'm saying? We were starting to bond and become a family again. And I appreciated it. I had even got close with her boyfriend at the time, which ended up being my stepfather. We had kind of got close-knit. And I thought that things were getting better, so I moved back with my mom. And my God, I think that probably was one of the worst decisions I could make as a child, because the decision was mine. My mother, I, and my grandmother sat in a room and we discussed if I wanted to go back or not. The option was mine. And, of course, I wanted to go back and live with my mother, even though I had been doing great at my grandmother's house. Had cousins and stuff to play with. Was living in a home where meals were going on, It was a structured home. You know what I'm saying? It was understood that people were going to work and you had to go to school and take care of your business and stuff like that. And grandma was always at home, tending to the kids that weren't old enough to go to school. You know what I'm saying? So it was always somebody there. It was always somebody there to watch the kids. You know what I'm saying? That's a big deal. That was a big deal to me. But I love my mother so much that I wanted to go back home. And my God, I went back to one of the worst possible situations ever. Number one, they moved to a one-bedroom apartment. These apartments were probably some of the worst possible apartments. If you ever heard the term shotgun house or shotgun apartment, that was the true definition of this. Everything was really small. The one room, was small, and I slept in the living room on the couch. You know what I'm saying? And this place, I don't even know the name of the apartment still to this day. All I know that they were the blue apartments across the street from the garbage dump. Right across the street from the garbage dump. And surprisingly, these apartments are still up to this day. And I still don't know the name of them. But anyway, man, things were cool for a while. My little sister was born, and wasn't no drugs being done. Things, we were bonding, you know. And I remember it so well. On the weekends, I would go and be with my grandmother and my cousins them. You know what I'm saying? On the weekends. I only pretty much stayed there through the week. And I remember coming home on a Sunday. And I knew something wasn't right. You know, everything seemed different. And I didn't know how. I couldn't explain this feeling that I had when I got home. It seemed like I was right back in Hearst Village. They were doing their best to try to hide the fact that they were doing drugs. But if you have ever been around a person that's high off crack cocaine, it's evident. It's evident. You can see it all in their face. Mouth all twisted up. You know what I'm saying? You could barely make out what they're saying truly. You know what I'm saying? Because they're trying to speak so fast because the cocaine got them. You know what I'm saying? And I just knew. Shortly thereafter, I started to get accustomed to being around the neighborhood a little bit. I started to get friendly with some of the people that lived around there. You know, some of our neighbors, some people down the street. Because one thing about me, I always had the option to go to other neighborhoods. Like, I used to just walk a lot. And how I knew things were starting to get rough again is it wasn't no food in the house. A lot. To the point where I would go to local businesses and ask, could I sweep up, you know, to try to get some money so I could feed myself. We didn't have a washing machine, so clothes were being washed on hands, and a lot of that shit wasn't coming clean. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't even attempt to go and buy no washing powder or shit. They would literally try to wash my school clothes and shit by hand. You know what I'm saying? So I was very, very dingy. And I don't know what the boycott was on socks, but I never had socks. And if you've been listening to me for a long time, I've mentioned that quite a lot because that affected me. I was known as the little boy with no socks. That was my name. The whole thing. You know what I'm saying? The little boy with no socks. And, you know, I did my best. And, like, it was this Chinese store up the street. I used to go up there. And, you know, they used to sell, like, loose socks for $1. And every day, I would scrape up $1 and buy me a new pair of socks. And I would try to accumulate them. I would try to keep them clean and, you know, try to build me up some shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I always acknowledged God and the presence of the Lord and things like that, because my grandmother now was very, very strict about that. So, I started to go to church by myself. 9 years old, I used to go up to this church. And, you know, a lot of times I used to hear people say, come as you are. You know what I'm saying? So I used to come as I was. I still was there praising God, thanking God for everything that I had, everything that I didn't have. And, you know, I wasn't going in there on no begging shit or none of this shit. They seen that I was active. I used to go to Sunday school and I used to stay for church service. You know what I'm saying? And I leave. I really didn't know nobody. None of that. None of my friends or none of that didn't go to their church or none of that. So one day, this man in Sunday school asked me, did I want some church clothes? And I was like, sure. And, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. You know what I'm saying? I thought that, you know, my folks would be happy. I had some, you know, stuff to go to church in. But I had no idea that these folks was finna go and buy me like a whole wardrobe. You know what I'm saying? Shoes, clothes, socks, t-shirts, drawers, all that. You know what I'm saying? I had no earthly idea. I'm thinking I'm finna get like one church shirt, one pair of slacks. You know, that's what he said, that I want some church clothes. And I went home with this lady from church, and my mother was so mad. She was so mad at me. She was so mad. She act like I destroyed her soul or something. And I couldn't understand this shit. I was like, why this lady don't want me to even have nothing? She ain't trying to give me nothing, but she don't want me to have nothing. That's how I felt. 9, 10 years old. Her addiction was taking over, man. Her addiction had took over. And how can I compete with that shit? I'm a child. Once it started getting noticeable, I used to beg this fucking lady. I used to do all kind of shit. I used to write this lady one page letters and some more shit, man. Please tell this lady. This shit is fucking embarrassing, man. Not only do we not got shit, but everybody know that my mother, the lady I love the absolute fucking most, is out here on this fucking dope. What the fuck I supposed to do? How can I compete with some shit like that? It got to the point where my mother would go missing. You know, at first, It was just for like a few days and shit. You know, a day or two, a weekend or something. You know what I'm saying? She'll be back Monday. Why did she get to the point where this lady started doing this shit for weeks? I don't know if this lady alive or fucking dead out here in these streets. I don't know. And then something happened again. And she got pregnant, you know? And then things started really getting confusing.